And welcome back, Chiefs Kingdom. This is Locked On Chiefs. I am Chris Clark. He is Matt Derrick. We have a lot to talk about. Chiefs are headed back to the Super Bowl against the Philadelphia Eagles, and we will get to it right after this.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
As I said, I am Chris Clark. He is Matt Derrick. This is Locked On Chiefs, your daily podcast covering the Kansas City Chiefs on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Chiefs your first listen every day. Don't forget to take another chance and go listen to maybe the NFL Draft Show. Ryan's doing great over there. And he's actually out on location going to Mobile right now. So it is going to be me and Matt Derrick tonight. There is a ton to talk about in this game. Matt, yeah. I'll let you start.
Was that a crazy game or what?
It was a crazy game, and I forgot to say, today's episode of Locked On Chiefs is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Sorry about that. Let's get into this game. Lots to talk about, and I think it was very obvious the players really took a little bit of a thing to heart this week.
Yeah, in the press conference room and in the locker room, they were a little bit more circumspect about some of the trash talking this week. But there's no doubt, I mean, absolutely, that some of the things that were coming out of Cincinnati and the mayor video and the Burrowhead were motivating factors for this team. I mean, absolutely. And Chris Jones was even pretty straightforward about that. Said you can talk trash. You can talk trash respectfully and professionally, but you can't disrespect Arrowhead. That certainly resonated with the team. And so I think it was a factor. Was it the overriding factor? No. I mean, the overriding factor is that Chris Jones played an absolutely incredible game. Patrick Mahomes got a lot of help from his teammates in getting the points that they needed. Special teams came up huge in this game, and that's why the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up special teams. We'll talk about that here in a second. I kind of disagree with you just a little bit. I do think that the Burrowhead comments and the Patrick Mahomes comments really pissed off the defense. I think they showed up and showed out in the first quarter, 4 sacks in the first quarter, and I think that was part of the reason is they were pissed off, and I think they took it out on them.
Oh, and don't get me wrong. I mean, what the Chiefs players were saying on the field during the celebration and everything was a different, little bit different tune than what they were saying in the locker room and everything. But I agree. I mean, I do think that it was a factor. I don't think it was the deciding factor, but I think it was a factor, no doubt.
And how funny is it to come back and have Sky Moore and Harrison Butker be the players that just absolutely crushed Cincinnati this time around?
You couldn't script it any better than that. I mean, two guys that had just an absolute nightmare of a season at times, and being the two players who on the final drive made, you know, really two of the three most significant plays and really bailed the Chiefs out of that situation. And I had a really interesting conversation with Sky Moore after the game where he flat out said that, you know, during the season, he didn't want to be returning punts. You know, he didn't have confidence in himself. He didn't think that he was doing well, and he didn't want to do it. And, you know, and Dave Tobe and the coaching staff and everybody continued to believe in him. And it wasn't until he got demoted. And he said it was about maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago when he finally realized how much he missed it and how much he wanted to be returning punts and how he just, you know, wanted to be able to get his hands on the ball and be able to help this team and contribute in some way. And that light switch, I think, was a big one to flip. I mean, he got his opportunity. I mean, it was some injuries required to get him the opportunity, but he stepped in there and, you know, and he said his teammates all came up to him and said, "Hey, man, you got this. You can do this." And you know, he had two punts that I think he returned. And there was the second one, obviously, was the game breaker. That was huge. I mean, he doesn't get those yards. Chiefs aren't in a position to move into that field goal range because, and that penalty was huge too, because without that penalty, Harrison Butker, I don't think makes that field goal.
Yeah, it would have been a lot harder on the field goal. I will say I was really interested to see Sky Moore went in for the punt return on the first one and had a great return. And then he gets called back because of a holding penalty on Brian Cook. and you didn't see it affect his confidence on the next punt return. That is what is key in this game. This Chiefs team fought the entire game. Man, down three wide receivers, four if you count Watson. I don't even know what to say. Mecole Hardman went out. Juju Smith-Schuster went out. Kadarius Toney goes out. Watson didn't even play. Travis Kelce is hurt going into this game. Mahomes is on a bum ankle, and you still find a way to win. You lose Legarius Sneed in the first series of the game, and you have three rookie corners starting the rest of the game. Now, the other thing that really comes to mind in that is they didn't have another corner behind Josh Williams. Maybe Johnson could have stepped in.
Nazi Johnson would have been the next guy in, yeah. And the moment that Legarius Sneed went down, to me, the Chiefs' chances of winning that game plummeted. Because you could see, especially in the first beginnings of that drive, the Chiefs had one absolute clear goal, and that was Legarius Sneed or Trent McDuffie were going to be on Ja'Marr Chase the entire game. They'd set it up so that Sneed and Jalen Watson were playing on the outside. McDuffie was in the slot, but if Ja'Marr Chase was in the slot, Trent McDuffie went with him. If Ja'Marr Chase was on the outside, Legarius Sneed was going with him. I mean, they wanted those two guys to be on Ja'Marr Chase the entire game. And once you lose Legarius, that plan goes out the window. And now you got to rally. And it was, I think, really amazing, especially you could see throughout the game, it felt like that, you know, Joshua Williams getting that time, his confidence was increasing. I can't wait to talk to Steve Spagnuolo, which we should get to talk to him as usual on Thursday, about the game plan for this, because it absolutely seemed like that they had to create a new game plan on the fly. And Josh Williams and Brian Cook ended up being, I think, much bigger parts of this than they intended at the beginning of the week. And lo and behold, I mean, they're in the second half. Both those guys had rough moments early, but they team up for the interception, one of the biggest plays of the game.
Yeah, and you look at that interception, that was a huge play. You also, one thing that's not going to be talked about a lot, but Trent McDuffie had a pass defense that was going for a first down. He tipped a pass that was headed towards T. Higgins and got it to where T. Higgins couldn't catch it and cost Cincinnati a first down at that point. Trent McDuffie played a great game. all these corners going up against these wide receivers, I thought played very well. There is a lot still to talk about in this game. We are going to get to all of it once we talk about this. If you looked at Patrick Mahomes and thought that he was going to throw for over 300 yards, you were going to be in a good position this game. You need to check out our friends over at Prize Picks. Pick 2 to 6 players, and if they go score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, which Mahomes is at 285 for the Super Bowl, I think that's probably a winning bet, then you have a chance to win. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. This includes NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's basketball, everything that you really want to bet on, even cricket. So that is out there as well. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. It's safe and fast with easy withdrawals. Currently operational over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to theprizepicks.com to sign up today and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match of up to $100. All right, Matt, there's so much more to talk about in this game. You start looking at the injuries that occurred. Legarius Sneed goes out. Willie Gay goes out. You lose three wide receivers in the middle of the game. What did you find out after the game with injuries?
Yeah, and did see Juju Smith-Schuster walking into the locker room after the game, and he still had a pretty noticeable limp. That knee that has been bothering him off and on acted up during the week in practice, and that's why he was a limited participant on Friday. We'll see. I mean, that is one to monitor for sure. Legarius Sneed is in the concussion protocol. I know he was tweeting at one point during the game, so maybe you can take that as a positive sign. the fact that you've got 2 weeks for him to recover could be very, very important. But it's also notable that this isn't the first time that Legarius has had a brush with the concussion protocol this season. So you got to think the Chiefs want to and should be pretty cautious with that. Talked to Willie Gay after the game. He said he told me he was fine. He'll be ready for the Super Bowl. So no problem there. Travis, you know, was pretty blunt after the game about the fact that, you know, his back was bothering him this week, and that he wasn't entirely sure that he was going to, you know, be ready today. But he got a lot of treatment over the last couple of days. And obviously I didn't think that he was any worse for the wear. I mean, he told us after the game that it was a little dicey, but he came through it pretty good. McColl re-aggravated the injury that had been bothering him. It doesn't appear from what Andy Reid said that it's anything to do with the original injury. It's more of that, you know, that either the hamstring or the groin that's been popping up in the last couple of weeks that kept him out and kind of extended his absence. That's what re-aggravated him. He was on the sideline kind of jogging and stretching throughout the second half, trying to get that going, but never could come back in. So, yeah, there's a lot of injuries for this team to be dealing with. It looks like a couple of them are absolutely worth monitoring for the Super Bowl, but they may have dodged a bullet on a couple of them.
Yeah, and Kadarius Toney went out with an ankle injury.
I forgot about Kadarius, too. Did see him after the game, and he was walking out of the locker room, and he looked a lot more comfortable than Juju did, but we'll see about the other guys.
Well, that's a good sign for him possibly being available for the Super Bowl. I would imagine that you were going to be looking at – and how funny is it that you – and funny is probably not the right word, but how interesting is it that in a week that superstar Patrick Mahomes has that huge injury, Travis Kelce has that huge injury, the PT staff for the Chiefs absolutely came in clutch to get those guys ready to go in this game.
Yeah, huge. I mean, you know, I don't think there was – I mean, we saw it. There was never really any doubt that Patrick Mahomes was going to play this game. I mean, it certainly almost seemed like from the beginning on Monday that a lot of the players said, yeah, you knew Patrick was going to play. Probably a lot of anybody who had doubts, they went away on Wednesday for sure. And that's probably when ankle watch really probably should have stopped. But we continued it throughout the week. I mean, there's no doubt. And hey, I don't know. We still don't know. The Chiefs and Patrick and Andy have all been very vague on just how severe Patrick's, you know, ankle is. It is a high ankle sprain. So yeah, it's bad. There's no doubt about it. And I don't think you could watch this game without saying that Patrick certainly looked affected. I mean, he did not look like his normal self. He did get outside the pocket a couple of times, but you could certainly tell that when he wanted to go anywhere, he was going up the middle. So you certainly saw that he was limited in what he was doing. But to be able to scramble and get that play at the end and get on the shove out of bounds, I mean, that was one of the three biggest plays of the game. I mean, along with Sky Moore and Harrison Butker's kick, I mean, those three plays got it done.
And Tommy Townsend had a great hold on that. It looked like the snap was a little bit off as well. Lots to talk about when you start looking at all those different storylines. Mahomes with his ankle, I think, was a huge storyline going into this game. I thought he played very well, but the one thing that really stood out to me in his performance is you sit there and you watch him lose a fumble the way he lost a fumble, and it almost came back to hurt Kansas City and kill them in their chance to play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you know, and it's funny because I wasn't in the press conference room, so I did not get to hear all of Patrick or anything. I was in the locker room the entire time after the game, so I don't know what Patrick ended up saying about that. But it's funny that with everything that happened in this game, I mean, I was in the locker room for 45 minutes, and the topic of that never came up, just because it was almost an afterthought after a while. Because, you know, of the turnovers that were costly in this game and really made a difference. I mean, it was the Josh Williams and Brian Cook play that really made the big difference. And part of it's because, you know, the Chiefs defense stepped up at the times when they needed to be able to bail out the offense.
And you start talking about the Chiefs defense stepping up. The guy that stepped up the most tonight was Chris Jones. Watching him play this game, getting the two sacks that he got, never having a sack in the playoffs until tonight. And then he goes and gets two and made a lot of different plays in the backfield. Got a holding penalty called against one of the Bengals offensive linemen, him going after Burrow again. He had a huge game tonight.
Yeah, I had the fortune to come onto the Chiefs beat for Chris's rookie season. And so I've watched Chris Jones's entire career. I've never seen a better Chris Jones than tonight. I think this was absolutely the best game of his career. He absolutely dominated the interior of that line, gets two sacks that were absolutely huge. He had a couple of huge plays in the run game as well. And even when he wasn't getting his name in the box score, he was affecting the quarterback in other ways, and he was freeing up other guys. I mean, the Chiefs don't get the sacks on the outside without damage that Chris Jones was doing on the interior. It wasn't a one-man show by any stretch of the imagination tonight, but I think this was the definitive marquee performance of Chris Jones's career.
And still a lot to talk about. We need to talk a little bit more about this offense, the lack of the running game, and how that's probably going to need to change for the Super Bowl. But I want to tell you about our newest sponsor over at FanDuel. This year, the only app that you need for your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sports book. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. The FanDuel Sports app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, the Chiefs had no running game in this game. None. Pacheco couldn't get anything going. McKinney couldn't get anything going. They even brought in Jones. He wasn't able to do anything. Yet they were able to go for over 300 yards. Patrick Head, his best game against the Bengals, which really surprised me considering I thought that the Bengals were going to come out and try to go after him.
Yeah, and I thought that the Chiefs were going to be pretty effective running the football today. I thought they were going to try to establish it and get something going early. And I certainly thought that they would have needed to run the football at the end to try and win this game. But that's not what happened. I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, 20 carries, 42 yards on the ground. And a good chunk of those, I mean, 8 yards, you know, Patrick Mahomes ended up having. And, you know, that's you take that out and that makes the run game even worse. I mean, they were averaging less than 2 yards a carry. You wouldn't think that would normally get a championship game won. It helps that, you know what, the Bengals were pretty bad running the football too. I mean, they didn't get a lot done either. I mean, they were more successful than the Chiefs, but they never really established everything either. I mean, it came down to the quarterbacks. And in this game, Patrick Mahomes had the better game. Patrick Mahomes finally outplayed Joe Burrow, and that's a big reason why the Chiefs got out with this one.
He outplayed Joe Burrow with all of the backups that you never expected to be playing in this game and playing pivotal roles. Marcus Kemp, even though I don't think they went down and scored on his when he had that big first catch, that was a huge catch. Because at that point, if they go three and out again, that puts a tired defense right back on the field. At least it got them a chance to take a little bit more time off the clock. Marcus Kemp stepping up and showing that he can do something in this offense. And then you still had the other guys. You know, you have Fortson made it back for this game, didn't really have any big plays in this game. But you have Fortson, you have Noah Gray, you have Travis Kelce as your tight ends. And then you're down to Sky Moore, Marcus Kemp, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, which had the best game I've ever seen him have as a Chiefs wide receiver.
Yeah, that was absolutely Marquez's best game of the season as a Chief so far. That was fantastic. And it was, you know, he was consistent. I mean, that's been the one knock against Marquez is that, you know, you will see the drops, you will see the miscommunications, him and Patrick sometimes being on the wrong page. Wasn't that way today, you know, and he wasn't the first read on that touchdown. He saw himself getting open and gave the sign to Mahomes and gave the wave and got the ball. That was a huge play, and that was obviously not the way that play was designed. And Marquez had another one of those, too, that was not a design. I think he might have been the fifth read on a play, and they got a big first down out of it. And then the catch down the sideline, too, you know, in coverage, you know, makes the leaping grab. We've seen Marquez at times not make those plays. So today he made them all, and he came up in big moments for them. But, yeah, I think the other guys, too, I mean – certainly Sky Moore was a part of the offensive game plan, wasn't part of it this big, But, you know, Marcus Kemp wasn't as part of the game plan at all. I mean, his only plan was for him that they had was for special teams. He spent this week playing scout team wide receiver. So when they got down to that bottom, you know, he was essentially the seventh wide receiver this week. When they got down to that point, Marcus was just banking on everything that he's done with the Chiefs over the years and banking on all that knowledge, because he was not prepped to play with this game this week. He wasn't part of the game plan. But having guys like that is a big deal. It helps out in moments like this.
Yeah, and he stepped up huge. I thought that he played very well for what he was asked to do, especially as you said, he wasn't involved in the game plan, wasn't expected to get those kind of snaps and opportunities. Marquez did have one play where Patrick missed him, and I'm not so sure that that wouldn't have been a huge play as well. If he throws the ball out in front of Marquez, it sure looked like Marquez probably could have had another 20 yards, and that could have been a huge play down the sideline or down the middle of the field at that point. Pacheco had some nice catches. I thought that was very encouraging to see him get involved in the passing game. And you sit there and you watch the way he was able to catch the ball, get away from Jermaine Pratt, and scoot down the sideline. That was a phenomenal play by him. This running back group and really this entire team, the offense just stepped up when they had to.
Well, again, to me, you know, the importance of this game plan was that Patrick was able to spread the football around, which was something that against the Bengals you absolutely have to do. And I also thought that except for maybe the last drive of the first half and the first drive of the second half, when the Chiefs got a little bit throw happy and took some shots downfield, and I thought really kind of got out of their game plan. And that to me were two drives that looked a lot like what got the Chiefs into trouble against the Bengals in the past. When they get greedy and they try to get some chunk yardage, I understood it at the end of the first half. You're trying to make, you know, a play and you're trying to maybe double dip there at halftime. But that first drive of the second half, it looked to me and felt like exactly the kind of, you know, second half getting away from what worked in the first half that the Chiefs had done before against the Bengals. And they didn't stop there. I mean, they came back to it and went back to working over the middle of the field, the taking what was there, the short stuff underneath. And, you know, and they didn't let the trying to be perfect be the enemy of good. I mean, they were good today. They didn't have to be perfect. They didn't have to be going downfield and hitting deep shots. They just needed to move the football in chunks, and that's what they did.
And I have to give a shout out to the Chiefs offensive line. I thought they played a hell of a game as well. Kept Patrick off the ground for the most part. Obviously, he's extending plays. He's going to take shots. That's not on the offensive line when he's got 4 or 5 seconds to survey the field. That's on Patrick trying to be Patrick, and that's exactly what you want him to do. But you can't blame the offensive line for him taking hits at that point. They're doing their job. I did think that you start looking at the rest of what this is going to mean for this team going forward. You look at Mahomes. Mahomes will be a lot healthier in 2 weeks. Travis Kelce should be a lot healthier in 2 weeks. This offense should be able to take a step forward with some of their guys over the next couple of weeks. And it sounds like defensively, I think they're going to be in good shape as well. But the thing that always stood out in this game was how much of an impact the rookies had this season or in this game. You look at what they were able to do with the rookies in this game, you know, McDuffie on the field, Watson, Williams, Cook, Karlaftis, all those guys. Chanel played as well. He didn't really do much, but he gave them linebacker snaps, which was something that was big when Willie Gay went down.
Yeah, and I heard a lot of that in the locker room and from the podium. I mean, Andy Reid talked about it. Travis Kelce talked about it. I mean, it was definitely a theme that and it's amazing just how comfortable these rookies are. I mean, the cliche is that nobody's a rookie this time of the season. But this rookie class is looking like something really special. I mean, they continue to get better. They're playing with a lot of confidence. Honestly, for Chiefs fans, they're a very likable group too. I mean, this is a very outgoing, personable group of players that I think Chiefs fans over the years are going to really love. I mean, I think you're still getting to learn a lot of them. I mean, you know, some of them are a little bit more outspoken than others. Some of them have bigger personalities, but they have really fit in with this culture. They have really fit in with they have targeted players who really fit in with the organization and have bought into what the Chiefs way, if you want to call it that. And, you know, and even on down, I mean, there's Jack Cochran, undrafted rookie free agent out there making plays at the end of the game on special teams too. So, yeah, it's amazing what these 10, 11 rookies in this class have done for this team.
And I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up, but how satisfying does it have to be for Kansas City to be on the other side of some officiating calls that I think people are calling questionable at different times during this game? I'm not going to say that they weren't the right calls, but there were some certain things that I think the refs missed. I think that it's interesting because I never expected Kansas City to get the benefit of the doubt. And when you look at how this game started, they challenged something, they lost their challenge. Then they challenged another thing. They won that challenge, and MVS did a great job getting the first down. But they were out of challenges with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. How huge was that not to have to worry about that going into, you know, the rest of the game? They didn't have anything that really came down to having to be challenged. And this defense stepped up again and got two turnovers from Joe Burrow, which was so huge.
Yeah, it was certainly good fortune that they didn't need a third challenge. I thought both the challenges from Andy Reid were reasonable. Sure, you could say that with a little bit more time, maybe the Kadarius Toney one was the one that you could get away from. But I can say from inside the stadium, the replays that we saw, it wasn't until, you know, really the TV came back from a commercial break that you saw a definitive replay that really showed you, okay, that was that ball. There was some movement there. There was a lot of reason for the Chiefs to think they might win that challenge. So I think that was worth it. And the first down challenge, obviously they win. That's a big deal. I'll say this. I mean, I get it. And most of the, I guess most of the criticism that I've seen at least have been about either the hit on Mahomes, which is ridiculous because you look at the replay from the end zone. He was clearly out of bounds by several steps before the hit. And then the play stop on third down, which once again, I mean, the replay clearly shows the official blowing that play dead before the play developed. It was just none of the other officials knew it and recognized that. So, and I thought the officiating on the inside, I mean, I thought that it was some rough officiating as far as the offensive and defensive line and the trenches go. I thought there were some bad calls both ways, missed calls too. And to me, it probably bounces out. I mean, I thought Andrew Wiley got flagged for a pretty soft holding call, but then on Mahomes' scramble, Orlando Brown probably got away with a pretty solid holding call. So, yep. And hey, if it's bad and goes both ways, can you complain that much? But
I thought the Tony call was a little weak too, but it is what it is. The NFL's going to call that.
It was, and I asked Andrew if he said anything other than just flapping his arms, and he said no, it was the arms. But he's like, I know I can't do that, but he's like, I still didn't think they'd call that.
Yeah, and they did. Okay, so now we get to get into the fun time of this show. Obviously, Kansas City's headed back to the Super Bowl. Third time in 4 years. That is phenomenal. A lot to talk about, and we will get into a lot more of it this week. Going to Super Bowl 57, it's the Kelce Bowl, it's the Andy Reid Bowl, whatever you want to call it. But who are your players of the game? And I'm going to give you two before I give you my two.
Yeah, I mean, and I took the first two. So, you know, Chris, you know, you're gonna take it with the next two guys. I took the two most obvious ones. Chiefs win this game because of Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones. Patrick Mahomes, it was not necessarily the greatest Patrick Mahomes game of his career. He's had many games that were better than this, but 29-43, 326, three touchdowns. With that ankle, those numbers are spectacular, especially when you consider the opponent and the situation, and then you consider just the individual plays. I mean, once again, this guy strapped his team on its back on that final drive and gets the yardage that they need in order to get the game-winning field goal. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, what he did this week, I can't remember if it was Chris Jones or Travis Kelce, one of the guys after the game said, you know, hey, expected this because he didn't do anything. He got treatment all week and you expected him to do this. It was still a pretty big deal. And like I said, I go back to and lean on with Chris Jones. This is the best, most complete game I've ever seen Chris Jones play. And he absolutely picked the biggest stage in which to do it. And, you know, and honestly, with Chris, the season he's had, it wasn't necessarily significantly better than other games he's had this year because he has just been that good of a player all year long. This guy, to me, deserves to be the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. He won't be probably, unfortunately, you know, generally considered that. He should be because I think he has had the best season. Mahomes obviously has had an MVP season. He's going to get recognized. But these two guys, I mean, throughout the season have been the best players on this team. And tonight they were the best players on the field.
Absolutely, and I agree with you on Chris Jones. I think he should be the defensive player of the year. He played phenomenal. 15 and a half sacks in the middle of a defense is a lot, is very, very hard to do. When you start looking at all the different players that made huge impacts in this game, you can talk about Brian Cook with his tip. Yeah, he had a couple of penalties, but you know what? You're going to learn as a rookie. Your timing is huge. That penalty on him for the pass interference, I'm not going to be pissed at that. He was trying to make a play on the ball. He mistimed it just a little bit. That's something you're going to have to learn, and you got to learn to live with that with rookies. You start looking at the rest of the defense. Willie Gay had some good rushes. Karloftis got a sack. Frank Clark got a sack and a half. You look at all these different guys that were able to get pressure on Joe Burrow, and they didn't let the guys that you expected to beat you, that have beat Kansas City so bad all the last three games before this one, in Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And I will say this, T. Higgins' touchdown catch was phenomenal. That was a fantastic throw. It was good coverage. Watson wasn't able to get turned around and get up and try to sky for the ball. That was a great throw by Joe Burrow, and it was a great catch by T. Higgins. I think that there are so many players you could give game balls to for this one. When it comes to offense, I don't think that there's another one you could probably give a game ball to other than Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I have been very critical of him this season. He's been inconsistent, and that has been a huge problem. Tonight, that wasn't the case. He is one of the reasons, if not one of the biggest reasons, that they had a chance to win this game late in the game because of all the catches he had. And he was phenomenal throughout the entire game. So huge to have him and have him step up in this moment. And then, you know, really my second one, I'm going to go a little bit outside the box. Obviously, I think Spagnuolo deserves credit because I think that he had a fantastic game plan, especially with three rookies. And as you said earlier, I think that he probably had to change it based on Snead going out, on Willie Gay going out, and just being in that situation. I have to give my other game ball to Joshua Williams. And I give it to Williams because he struggled so much at different times this season. And he was thrown in the mix from one of the first series of this game, and he had to play the entire game, not planning on playing as much as he did, planning on being a guy on special teams, but not planning it against going against Higgins and going against Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd and all those guys. And he stepped up and he played well. He got the interception. I thought that was huge for him and his confidence. It's great to see the rookies be able to step up and do that. Obviously, Jalen Watson had a fantastic interception as well. Got to talk about that, but man, the other thing I will say, Sky Moore, and I know you already said this, but I want to say it again because it is so huge to me. Sky Moore being able to do what he was able to do on the punt return, having the confidence to step in there and being able to return the ball to get Kansas City even in the opportunity to have a chance to win that game. And then Harrison Butker coming in and having ice in his veins. I couldn't believe Zach Taylor didn't try to call a timeout.
I was surprised by that. I thought they would try to ice him a little bit. Especially like we talked about earlier, after the season that those two guys have had to come through in that moment. And, you know, and for Harrison, for sure. I mean, that dude is still not 100%. I was talking to him after the game just about, you know, where he's at. And because he had told us earlier, he didn't think he was going to be 100% at any point this season. I asked him if he was close to there. And he's like, I'm still wrapping my ankle. I mean, I'm still having to get it wrapped up each week to play. So he's like, no, I mean, I don't think I'm going to be back to 100% until next season. I mean, the offseason is going to be where he gets back there. So a big moment. And with the way that the ball was carrying tonight at Arrowhead, I asked Harrison what his range was. He thought maybe 53 or 55. I mean, during warmups, it was looking more like 51 might have been the absolute range. And even that one from 45 to win it, I mean, just kind of barely got over the crossbar. So it was a tight one, but it was really rewarding to see those two guys get plays in that situation tonight.
And then the other thing I got to say is thank you, Dave Toe, because you got those guys ready. You had all the rookies that you had to deal with all season long. Special teams didn't kill Kansas City in this game, which was something that I thought was possibly going to be a factor. But Tommy Townsend also stepped up punting the ball, getting two punts inside what the 10-yard line and kicking them out of bounds to where they couldn't even return it to begin with. I mean, phenomenal job by him. This entire team played very well. There's a lot more to talk about this week. Ryan and I will be back to talk to you more tomorrow. Matt and I will actually be talking on Wednesday. Looking forward to that, but we're going to have a lot to talk about. Mahomes is headed back to the Super Bowl. even with the bum ankle. And I know Travis Kelce had a lot of fun talking after the game.
Yeah, these guys had a lot of fun talking, period. So there's going to be a lot of content for everybody to catch up on. I mean, a lot to devour from tonight. The plan is that we should be hearing from the players during the week too. So still a lot to come, but it's going to be a crazy couple of weeks leading up to Super Bowl 57.
Yep, Kansas City heads back to Super Bowl 57. 3 Super Bowls in 4 years under Patrick Mahomes. 5 straight AFC Championship games. A lot to talk about. We will be back to talk more about this team tomorrow. Thank you for listening today, and we will talk to you tomorrow.